morning, and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable on this last day of February 2013. It's a we're almost there to March. Hopefully not in like a lion. Speaking of March, I wanted to remind you that if you haven't already voted for Syracuse in the Bloomberg Philanthropies Mayor's Challenge, if you don't know about that, I'm sure if you went to the city's website or to the Huffington Post website, you would find a link. If you didn't know, Syracuse is in the running, one of 20 cities invited to apply for either a $5 million or $1 million grant. Syracuse's proposal is for a World Market Square, that is, it's a project on the north side for a kind of an international village kind of thing. So March 6th is the deadline to vote for Syracuse in the Bloomberg Philanthropies, right? So March, we have a lot of interesting, I hope you agree, speakers, a lot of different topics coming up in March. Please do try to make them all. If you know of anybody who is might be interested in one or the other of these topics in particular, you know, do feel free to invite a guest. If you want to check with me first, that's fine, but it should be okay. Right now, it's my pleasure to introduce today's guest speaker, Bill Broad, who is publisher of the New Times and the Family Times, also CEO of All Times Events and president of the Spinnaker Custom Products Company, which is a logo company. But we invited him here to talk about being a publisher of the Syracuse New Times, which many of us know has been around for 43 years, almost as long as I have, almost, no. All right. It is, you might not know this, it's the third oldest arts, entertainment, and dining alternative newspaper in the U.S. It's a weekly, as you know, and it's free. Family Times, which you'll see copies on your table, is a member of the Parenting Publications of America group, reaches about 54,000 people in the area. And All Times Events Company is a promotions company that manages fundraising events and other entertainment. But please do welcome Bill Broad, publisher of the New Times and Family Times.
Good morning, thank you. It's very nice to be here. It's and I can see my three hecklers right in, so I'm just gonna kind of stay away from that part of the room, so that's good. But it's a pleasure to be able to speak to you and about publishing in the Central New York area. And as you have read, there are lots of changes and there's lots of new happenings going on, and they are affecting us as well as every other publication in the business in the area. I want to start with just kind of tell you a little bit about me and how I got into it. I've been an engineer all my life, and up until I bought the New Times, my last gig was with a consulting engineering company here doing aviation engineering all over the Western Hemisphere. And I came to realize that I had nothing in common with what I did with work with my wife and my four daughters. They had no interest in anything technical. I was traveling extensively. I've got about 2.5 million frequent flyer miles tattooed to my hide over my career. I call that my badge of dishonor. And so I realized that, you know, if I'm going to do something, now is the time to do it. An opportunity came up for the New Times, and it fit three criteria that I had established for myself if I was going to make a career change. The first was something that would get me off the road and stop traveling. Clearly that did that. Secondly, was something I could do with my wife and daughters, and my wife is involved in the business, and my junior at SU, Newhouse Whitman, is involved part-time, and my, I guess, what do you call it, senior sophomore at OCC is involved, and she's been a published photographer, and I've got two younger daughters in high school, which hopefully they'll have an opportunity. So that was number two, and number three was an opportunity to have an impact in our community, because when you're going all over the place to Detroit and San Diego and Guam and every other place, you don't really have an opportunity to impact what's going on here where I live, where I've chosen to raise my family. So the New Times gave me the opportunity to have those three things, and I thought, geez, this could fit. And it took me a little while to kind of come to grips with the career change, but when I did, it has been amazingly rewarding, incredibly challenging. This is the toughest business that I've ever been involved in, and I've been involved in a a little more than a dozen different businesses. This is the toughest by far, but it's been amazingly rewarding. So probably heard in the introduction that the New Times has been around. This is actually, now we're in our 44th year, so that was a old bio, sorry. This is our 44th year, and we started at Syracuse University as the Orange Penny Saver. And I think probably some of you remember that. I brought copies of the 1970s edition. This is every edition from 1970s in here, if you want to take a look at this. But it's the Syracuse New Times and Orange Penny Saver. Oh, I'm sorry, this is 1971-72. But it is kind of fun to go back and look at how we wrote back then and how we write today and what's changed with printing and photography and everything, but very curious. This is the 25th anniversary celebration, and that plaque is at the corner of Comstock and Euclid Ave, and that was commemorating the 25th anniversary. The New Times was formed in that building right behind us, which Ken Simon had as his dorm room, and that's the origin of the New Times. So when you go by the corner of Comstock and Euclid, that plaque is pretty much buried in shrubs now, so you have to kind of look, at it, but that was the general manager, Greg Gamble. That was the editor at the time, Mike Greenstein, who now lives in Seattle. That was the fellow that bought it and rescued it from bankruptcy in 1984, Art Zimmer. County exec, Nick Pirro, and we have been unable to identify this young lady. We think that she was from the county exec's office, so maybe some of you can shed some light on that. But that was our origins, and it was Art had the paper for 26 years, and he was 72 when he sold it, and he said, geez, it's kind of time that, he said, I term limited out. It's time for me to move on, and so it was great that he was able to find a local buyer. That was a goal of his, was to keep the paper owned locally because he felt pretty strongly about that. I'll talk a little more about our local focus later, but we also feel very strongly about that. This is our family of companies now. And I'll talk a little bit about each one, but the New Times obviously is the base on which everything is founded. That New Times is 44 years old. Family Times is now 10 years old. All Times Events we formed a couple of years ago, and Spinnaker Custom Products we formed a couple of years ago. The reason is that we serve the same customers. Now, the New Times is a free paper, and there's really a couple of different distribution models in the publishing business. One is obviously the subscription model where you pay money and have it delivered to you in some form now, which could be changing from print to digital or a combination of both. We are a free paper. A couple of interesting things happen in the free paper industry. When we publish our paper, we don't charge anybody to subscribe, but we deliver it to about 1,050 locations now around the central New York area, and people come and pick it up. Interesting studies now are showing that the people that pick that up obviously have intent to read. They have two intentions, either to read the paper or to line their birdcage, or both. We're hoping that most of the time it's to read the paper, and if they do line the birdcage with it, we hope they got something from it first. But it's a motivated reader, and people are starting to realize that if your content is good enough and you create motivated readers, that's a solid business model. I'm glad we've elected years ago to have that business model, so we're not having to wrestle with this idea of should we charge people, should we bait them with a little bit of a story and then charge them to read the rest of the story, which is what the publishing industry is really wrestling with today. We've settled that. We are a free paper. Our advertising revenue covers 100% of our costs, and we've come to grips with that. We've been okay with that. I'm going to talk a little more about digital and how that's impacting our business later, but that's a component that is going to buckle onto our business, but it's not going to drive our business the way the subscription model is. So who is the Syracuse New Times? Somebody wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, what do you guys do? We're an arts, entertainment, dining, community events. We help people discover what to do with discretionary time and income. Now, what I want you to read into that is, from a print publication, we have a little different focus than most other what I'll call news organizations. So just go with my definition. A news organization is a group that looks at today backwards. What was the score of the Yankee game last night? Did the SU basketball win? What's the LIBOR interest rate? What happened in Afghanistan? They look at history today back. As soon as you look at history, there are many, many ways to find that kind of information. And a newspaper is becoming not the most preferred way to do that anymore. Now, that is still sorting itself out. But when you are competing for history, you have to compete against these kinds of things where you can Google something. It's hard to Google, what should we do this weekend? And get any kind of a real answer. So what we try to do is stay forward looking. We look at the things that people have opportunities to do, what's going on in your community, are there festivals, are there issues that you should get involved with and know about, things that people might not be aware of to punch into their Google search bar. And so that's the business model that the New Times operates in. Family Times, I'm gonna just kind of quickly go through this. Parenting publication, like I said, we've been around 10 years. Last year we took it to a full glossy format. That's actually helped us to really jumpstart the growth of it. We're starting to look at changes in that to go look at more from a mom and dad perspective, looking at them as men and women and what kind of things are men and women interested in. And also one of the things that's emerging is, you know, I'm 53, and I have an 88-year-old dad and a 79-year-old mother. You know, we're starting to deal with you know, mom and dad have issues that they need help around the house, you know, and so people in my age group are starting to deal with not only kids in college stuff, but we got aging parent issues. So we're looking at how can we incorporate that into Family Times now too. When I bought the paper in 2010, that was our circulation footprint, and that's Onondaga County right there. We had a little presence in Oswego County, had a little bit of presence in Western Madison, and that was pretty much it. Today, that's our footprint. So, if you remember nothing more about what I say today, when somebody tells you that print is dead, tell them, I just don't believe that. Print is not dead. Print is changing. There's no doubt about that. Print is changing. But we've seen 25% growth in arguably some extremely tough times. And it has everything to do with content. What do you put in a paper, and are people interested in reading it? We've actually put the brakes on expanding our circulation because sales hasn't caught up with the growth, and we've grown in our circulation 25% over this period of time. That was our first year growth, 14%. Now we're at 23% at the end of October. We're at 25% growth now. We've actually shut down the governor of adding more papers in the market because sales hasn't caught up with that yet. Now as sales catches up, we'll get back on the, you know, setting up new distribution locations, but hardly ever do my folks and I go into a place and say, would you like to carry the New Times here, and have them say, never heard of you, get out. So we could put more papers into the market than we can afford to put in today. And Family Times is actually, as I mentioned, has grown 35%, which we've also done the same thing. We've kind of put the governor on that because we want to let the business model catch up to the circulation model. This is the demographics of the readership. Now, we belong to a number of industry organizations that audit our circulation and our distribution. And the reason we do that is that we need a third party to establish credibility of who reads the publications and where do they get distributed. We need to submit ourselves to third party audit. And this is what we find is that the New Times, that's 80% of our readers are in the 21 to 44 age group. $50,000 and more individual household income is 59% of our readers, 48% of the market. College education is 73 versus 55. Family Times even skews a little bit more educated, more affluent. And the reason this is significant is, and this is part of the reason I think we're experiencing some growth, is this is the demographic businesses need to talk to. Unless you're selling something on the far end of the age demographic, we really hit into the prime demographic of spending and consuming needs. Spinnaker Custom Products, I'm just going to talk quickly about that. We realize that the same type of people that buy advertising also run restaurants and need to put their wait staff in hats and pens and do all the kinds of things that logo wear and T-shirts and whatnot, festivals. So we started Spinnaker Custom Products, and these are some of the different things that you can do. Anything you can put a logo on, we do. I'll talk a little bit about our digital focus, because when I bought the paper, the previous owner didn't have a computer, didn't do email, didn't believe in websites, and so in 2010 we had to start from a standing start with our digital focus. So we were clearly behind the times, and I would not say that we have caught up yet, but we're at least in the race. So we have three ways you can access our content on the web now. We have an e-reader. You can go to our website and click on the cover of this week's paper, and it will take you to an e-reader where you can just turn the page on your computer screen. We also have an iTunes app, and you can go to iTunes and download the Syracuse New Times app and just thumb it across on your iPhone or your iPad. That's probably the most popular way people do it. And then we're beginning our digital classified business. We've decided that no longer are we just going to give classifieds away to Craigslist, because they're completely impersonal, and there's lots of junk starting to happen on Craigslist. I put a heater as we renovated our building, I put a heater on Craigslist, and I got probably 15 requests for a date through my Craigslist ad. I thought, wow. I put a picture of a unit heater in, and they asked to see if we could meet for drinks. I think something's not right here. My wife got a kick out of that too, so. So anyway, digital is clearly a presence in our market, and we have got to augment that. Here's an interesting thing that I've discovered in digital. We spent an awful lot of time with my sales force trying to, you know, following the model that happened with Post Standard and selling digital. And you know, my sales manager finally came to me and said, Bill, we're spending 25% of our time for 5% of our revenue. And I was like, holy mackerel. And so we backed off on that. And what I found in talking with other publishers, there's no one out there who has shown me a digital business model that works. Now, I'm not saying that's not there. I just don't understand one that works. We haven't made it work. No paper in our alternative Newsweekly industry has made it work. And the scuttlebutt at conferences, no one has come out and said, I got the recipe, hire me and it'll work. So I think the New York Times is probably the closest. The Wall Street Journal still is close, but they haven't got it. Nobody is saying we can stake our whole business on digital. Very interesting, given what's happened I'm watching as much as probably you are about what's happening in the market, because I don't see how it works. And it certainly didn't work for us. Now, that doesn't mean we have abandoned it. It's clearly a part of our business. Our customers want it. They want us to be more available digitally, especially with the content. But the advertising revenue just is not there. I don't see how people can deliver content for free and expect that they're going to be able that it's going to remain of high quality. It's just not going to work. Events company, we also realize that there's an awful lot of organizations out there that have a need for a voice. And as I mentioned, one of the reasons that I got involved with the New Times was to be able to have an impact in the community. Many, many organizations have come to us and said, would you help us put on an event? Would you help us tell our story? Would you help us do something? And in order for us really to engage, the publications are not the right fit for that. Especially if we're going to go into an off-site location like this room and put on an event on behalf of someone. And so we formed an events company so we could be insured properly, we could devote the right resources in other veins, and it marries on to our publications business and our promotional products business, but it allows us to get involved with other groups that we wouldn't necessarily always fit in the publications. These are some examples of things that we've done. You know, we've done beer festivals, we've done the SALT Awards, which are coming up, Syracuse Area Live Theater. Stage of Nations is probably the biggest and most exciting one we did. We did with the Onondaga Nation in Hanover Square last year, and during Arts Week, we put on a whole cultural festival, two-day festival for them, highlighting their music, their food, their culture. We had a smoke dance competition, which was fascinating to see native dancing. This year we're going to expand that, by the way, a little quick plug on that, bringing smoke dance competition teams from around the Northeast. Camp Fair is a conference that we put on at the fairgrounds where we bring families in and they talk to exhibitors for, you know, lacrosse camps, dance camps, Enchanted Forest, Chambers of Commerce, Cooperstown Hall of Fame, you know, all different things that families could do during the summer. And then we're involved in too many new music festivals that I can't even number them. These are just some examples, some things you might have seen out there that are involved. And the interesting thing about our events companies, you'll never see the word All Times Events at anything. It's a behind the scenes. It works for our customers, and we're not the headliner. Somebody else is always the headliner. But what it does is create opportunities for the publication business and the promotional products business to engage. So our real goal is to become an integrated communications company. Personally, I think that is the secret to, if you're not going to be in the news business where you're going to deliver historical information about what happened in our community, we need to be able to communicate. We need to help our customers communicate with their customers in a multitude of ways. By the time this time next year, we may add things to this. Some of these things may drop and change. We need to be light on our feet because this world is changing dramatically. But the whole idea is to be closely coupled with our customers so that we are helping them communicate to their market in the ways that they need to do it. And taking advantage of technologies, taking advantage of traditional means of communicating, and incorporating it all in a package. So that really is our focus, is to be, I call that the multiple arrows in our quiver. Now what's different from when I bought the paper is, when I bought the paper we had that. And we have added this in the last 2 years. Now we're not done. In fact, in some ways I wouldn't even say we're started well. But these are things that I believe we have to be involved in order to be successful in the environment that we're in to go forward. Those are the things that we need to be involved in to be successful. I always end talking about the idea of keep the profit local. How many of you are aware of Syracuse First? Oh, that's awesome. Syracuse First is the Buy Local initiative here. We were one of the founding members because I believe that when you keep the profit local, good stuff happens. Here's an example of what happens when you keep the profit local. That's our building. We were on the 10 ugliest buildings in the city list last year. That's our building today. So when we generate some profit, that's the kind of thing that a local business does. They invest it back in the community. I hope they don't raise my assessment for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. But we've employed contractors, and we've bought building materials, and we've done things to improve our business. Hopefully improve our business. And I think that's what happens when you keep the profit local, is it stays in our community, it ripples through the community, it does good things, versus when you put your profit in a national chain store, it goes to corporate headquarters and gets distributed to the shareholders. There's a difference. And this study right here is actually, I need to update this because this was a study done from 2008 to 2010, 2,800 businesses around the nation. And they studied communities with Buy Local initiatives and studied communities without Buy Local initiatives. With Buy Local initiatives, the average business grew 5.6%, without 2.1. The numbers updated for 2012, 8.4, 2.9. In arguably some of the toughest times we've been involved in, I believe down to the tips of my toes, keeping the profit local makes sense. And it's worthwhile to deal with a local business versus deal with a national chain. And we have done things, we've shifted as much of our purchasing to local businesses as we can. And I think it all makes a difference. And every single one of us can make a difference in that. By Chris Fowler, who's the executive director of Syracuse First, would say, if people devoted 10% of their purchases from a national chain to a local business, 10% of the purchases in Onondaga County, create $130 million in economic activity, 1,200 new jobs, and it would have a ripple effect that would last for years in this community. And I believe that. So that's the advantage, I think. Remember that picture. That's the advantage of buying local. Help us take our building from the 10 ugliest to hopefully we're now only on the 100 ugliest. But we're going. We're moving in the right direction. So with that, I will take some questions if anybody has any thoughts, anything they would like to talk about.
I'll ask you a question, and that has to do with, you were very clear about your definition of the New Times. I'm talking about the New Times as arts, entertainment, dining. I think in the past, I think about some of the columns, and even, you know, recently there are interviews with public officials. So there is some news, community issues, things like that. Do you see any chance for either expanding that mission or, you know, looking beyond that, particularly with the post-standard, whether people's appetite for print, for more print news, is still there?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Thank you. The answer is yes, I do. And interestingly enough, as late as yesterday, I had an investigative reporter in my office who's now working for us part-time. His role is going to be to go out and chase down stories in the community. And yesterday we identified four, which obviously I'm not ready to share with, but there's plenty of things. I know, you won't tell anybody. Let's just keep it amongst us, just us, right? But yeah, there are plenty of things that we can go out and talk about, and not all of it is pretty. But, you know, I will tell you that our main goal is to tell the good news of Syracuse. So we're not looking to go dig up the ugliest stuff that's out there. There's plenty of other news organizations doing that. I don't really see that as our role. Now, that doesn't mean we won't ever do that. But for the most part, we're going to try to poke the beast and try to take us in a good direction rather than tear the city down. Because this is where I live, too. And I see all of you out in the community. I don't want to be the guy who's pilloried by saying, can't you say something good about Syracuse? I've heard that in the media forever, and I don't want to be the one who joins that crowd.
I read your editor's comments, I believe it was in last week's New Times, saying, I'm the new kid on the block, and I'm excited about this job, and wowee, look at all the differences I've made. I noticed no difference other than the bylines of the writers. And I was wondering when the Syracuse New Times was going to learn what a diverse community this is instead of such a homogeneous community it is.
Yep, fair question. And the first part of your question, I will say, give him a chance. He's been on the job 2 weeks. So give him a chance. It actually opened the paper this week. You'll notice, and compare it to 2 or 3 weeks ago, you will notice some difference. Let me just highlight some overarching changes that you'll notice. I think you'll notice that the length of our stories will shorten and we'll have more stories. And you'll notice that within stories we'll have pull-out stories. So an example, a theater review that has a particularly intriguing actress in it, there'll be a pull-out story about her and what she's done versus having it woven through the review. That'd be an example. We're gonna up our coverage of sports. We're going to cover some local politics, not down to the minutia level of, you know, watching whatever everything that happens at the county legislature, but we'll cover some politics. So over time, you will see some difference. As far as the diversity, you're right. When I look at my staff, I see we're about 60% women and about 95% Caucasian. And it's a challenge to represent and mirror the community. I have a good friend who is doing a lot of work in the Bhutanese community on the north side, and she's doing a phenomenal job. She's a little petite girl, and she decided she was gonna make a difference. And that's an area that we need to cover. There's an enormous immigrant population in Syracuse that is completely underserved. And I can tell you that we're thinking about that. I don't have an answer for you and how we're going to cover it, but there is going to be an effort made to be more diverse in our coverage and you know, look at integrating more into the community like that. In every issue of the New Times, my phone number and email is in it. So if ever you feel like you want to get to me directly, I answer every single email the day I get it.
Uh-oh. Everyone's getting out their palm violets here. Watch out. We have a couple. I cover story this week. I see is about the new theater, and I think We have some arts people here. Can you, I don't know if they have any questions, but I will ask the question about how you think the New Times and arts and cultural organizations could, you know, kind of work together. You're supporting the arts by getting the word out. Any other thoughts on that?
Well, the cover story this week is a group called the District Theater Festival. It's three theater companies in Syracuse. We're actually, All Times Events is behind that. We are a sponsor of that. You don't see All Times Events anywhere in there, but All Times Events is a driver behind that. Three theater companies producing a show in a common theater space with an incredible amount of commonality in their sets, so they can move from one show to the next without tearing the set apart and resetting it. So it's a very interesting and innovative way to do things. They're sharing their marketing. They've gone as far, they've kind of used the Destiny model of marketing, gone to Rochester, to Albany, to Toronto and Ottawa, and they're drawing people, and they've got the CVB helping them. Genesee Grand is providing hotel accommodations, and they're getting people to come to Syracuse to see a three-show theater festival, which is the first time this has ever happened. I think it's amazing that the theater community has been able to, A, come together and do it, and secondly, to really to be successful. We've got some great live theater in Central New York. Comparatively, and I talk to publishers of papers like us around the nation, I think we have more live theater per capita than almost any other than any other city that I know of. Talking New Orleans, Detroit, Cleveland, places, Seattle, Portland, Eugene, Oregon, Madison, Wisconsin. These are publishers I've gotten to know, and they're amazed at the amount of theater we have per capita. I think that's great. Bodes well for the, because arts are a huge part of the health and vitality of our downtown. We got to build them up.
Just on the subject, I just wanted to stick with that for a minute. Yes, I was just thinking about your map and expanding your territory. And as you were talking about the arts, I was thinking about the Turning Stone, not so much the casino part of it, but the shows that they put on. Do you think that is, you know, sort of the more the better, or do you think that is drawing from this territory? As someone who's involved in promoting events,
let me see if I understand your question. You're really asking, is Turning Stone helping or hurting?
Yeah, basically.
Is that right?
Right.
Boy.
Or neutral.
Why don't you throw me a bigger grenade? Well, I can jump on that one. So, I think it's probably some of both. I mean, they're getting some top name talent that very few facilities and organizations have the ability to A, to bring, and B, to promote, to draw a big enough crowd to fund them. People like Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you know, that's now I'm really showing my age, right? But so, you know, some of the names that they bring, you know, you have to have a facility and the promotion capability to do it. You know, I think when you're bringing people, I love the model that Destiny is starting to take, and hope they follow through on this. That they're looking at drawing people, using the magnet of Destiny to draw people to Central New York, but not holding them exclusively in that concrete bunker. And they're trying, you know, there's going to be a CVB kiosk in Destiny, if my information is correct. Everybody aware of that?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Convention and Visitors Bureau. Right.
So the idea is to use the magnet of Destiny to draw people, and they're clearly successful at drawing people from a long way away. But the not holding them exclusively at the mall, I guess, are they calling it the mall still? Is that okay?
We do.
And kicking them out into the community so that the rest of the community has some opportunity to benefit from drawing the people. And if Turning Stone, I know they don't overtly embrace that, but if there's some spill off from Turning Stone, I think that's probably good.
Right. And the bowling ladies will like to go to Turning Stone for sure. Yay, bowlers. Lisa.
Hi. I'm glad to hear that you're in the promotions business, but we certainly have a wide array of festivals in Syracuse, and I'm fearful a bit that we might be getting into festival fatigue in the summer with almost every weekend. But one festival that I'm concerned about is the what's called UN Refugee Day, and you mentioned that you're involved a bit on the North End, and that's in the, I think, the end of June, and admittedly, I wasn't there this year because I was out of town, but the previous year I was there, and it was disturbing that there were so few people from the community there compared to quote-unquote refugees, which we call new Americans. Is there any way that perhaps you could be, your organization could be a bit involved with that to help improve their, perhaps their promotion, their organization? There's so many aspects of it that could be aided, and to really highlight all of the different communities that we have here in Syracuse, and also then that would help feed into whether or not we do get this Bloomberg grant that there's a lot of talk about right now.
Yep. Well, as I alluded to, the change in our editorial focus to shorten stories, part of the reason for that is so that we can include more opportunities. You know, when you have a certain amount of physical real estate that you can print on, if you shorten up certain stories, it obviously will free up opportunities to report on more things. So that's part of the goal. And then to tie on to this lady's other comment about developing our coverage of different ethnic groups and minority populations, that's certainly a goal too. So if you can help us, put us in touch with the right people and pitch a story, you know, we've got all kinds of people who would love to go out and cover that. And we're developing, we probably have 50 freelance writers that write for us at any one time. And they all have different interests. Some are sports, some are theater, some are music, some are food. You know, it's there. And we have people that are interested in covering things like festivals. And in my business plan this year, assuming we successfully execute that, I have an arts and events editor position, and I want to be able to direct that person to get to some of these things so that we're represented by an official New Times person at some of these events.
So I'm concerned about the relationship with your for-profit events company and your newspaper. I actually think that it is not transparent, and I believe that it would be more correct for you to disclose at all times, because you took something that you're profiting from and put it on the front page of your paper. And I think that there's too much of a mix unless you go to a model, which in, you know, when we watch TV, NBC might say we're owned by GE. I think that it's too much of a mix. And is just, you know, not clear. I'm the chair of the West Gus Street Cultural Fair. I would expect that we don't need to use a promotion company, that we should have equal footing with groups, with events that you are being paid to promote. So I think you might reconsider transparency and disclose at all times your financial interest in an event.
Well, let me clarify that, because All Times Events Company is promoting the district, but the sponsor of the event is the Syracuse New Times. So when I say we have an events company always works on behalf of sponsors. So the sponsors in this case are Appleseed Productions, Rarely Done Productions, Red House, and the Syracuse New Times. All Times Events just does the market planning, media buying. You'll notice there's billboards around. So we're providing the, if you will, the feet on the street on behalf of the named sponsors. And you will see in all the advertising for the district, the Syracuse New Times is listed as a sponsor.
It could be part of it, though.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a fair criticism.
Full disclosure. All right. I don't, you know, I think that we all are really anxious to read the New Times and the Family Times, and I sure want to look at those issues from 71 and 72. I think that will be fun. So thank you, Bill Broad, and good luck.
I want to make, I want to just say one other thing. Because
final words.
And I forgot now, you actually caused my two little brain cells to come together and think about this. One of the significant things, I should have mentioned this earlier, is in changes for the New Times, that if you looked at our content 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had probably 15 to 20% of our advertising was adult advertising. Now, You mentioned when I introduced myself, I have four daughters. So it's very hard for me to support that kind of thing and look my four daughters in the eye and say, I got your back, girls. And so we have made some pretty significant changes in our adult advertising now. It's down to about 1.5% of our revenue from probably 15. And the pact that I've made with the adult advertisers is this. First of all, we don't put anything that is non-business related. You have to have a business in Syracuse and pay your taxes. And any ad that goes in the paper has to be something I would see on Jamesville Beach. Now, that doesn't mean I like the business, but we've at least arrived at a Mexican standoff. And it's obviously reduced the business significantly, and it's been something we've had to replace. But that's a significant change in our focus, if you will. And I wanted you to know that, because I think that's longer term, it's going to continue to go that direction.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.